The Lord be with you and be with us and bless us with patient endurance as we receive his words of encouragement today. I don't know about you guys, but I'm always feeling let down when the Lord asks us to prepare our hearts for our wedding day or allows me to see him in an apron in preparation for the wedding feast, or when a blood moon or a feast day comes and goes and still, oh rapture. It's really hard dealing with another delay in his coming. But our ways are not his ways, and I'm just so happy he's sympathetic with our sense of letdown because he made it clear in this message there's a reason why we feel this keen sense of anticipation. The rapture's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and then nothing happens. And it's not that we're all delusional, so you can put that one away. He actually is inspiring us during those times to look forward to the rapture in present tense and not the far-off future, and he has a really good reason for it. So I'm going to go ahead. And when I first began giving YouTube messages last year in September, he was quick to tell me that the bride was not ready, and he was delaying world events in order to give her more time. I got a lot of flack for that, but I have to say what I'm told and not what people want to hear. And the blood moons and the feast days came and they went, no rapture. And I had a piece about it, because the first thing I was told was that she wasn't ready and he was delaying it. So here we are, 8 months later, and we're still waiting. Tonight's message really fleshed out his reasoning for that. So here we go. He began, I've been waiting for you to come to me, my love. I know how very traumatic all of this is for both of you and others who are waiting so earnestly. I'm sorry to disappoint you all time and time again. But the bride is not ready, Claire. She's just not ready. Nonetheless, we are on the edge of her readiness. Things are moving forward in the hearts of my doves. It is dawning on them that there's a much deeper level in their relationship with me, and this is good. It won't be long now, but I don't want you and others so crestfallen and disappointed. Rather, I want you to bear up under trial, stand fast, and continue in well-doing. Claire, if I were to rapture my bride right now, in this hour, many who I wanted to take would not be ready. So many who have labored for me are still missing it. There's a level I want my bride at, a level of detachment, a level of abandonment, a level of purity that she hasn't recognized yet. Much has to transpire to get her attention set on the goal, and that is the reason for these repeated trials and drills. Your channel is just a minuscule sampling of the ones who seek me and long for me and yet are not quite ready. Hour after hour, we are working in the lives of our beloved ones in hopes that they will pull more and more away from the world. Is it too much of a price to pay for souls, to be delayed, to bear up under another day of suffering, another course of trials? Is it too much for me to ask of my bride to shoulder these crosses, that I might fill the wedding chamber with those I have called who are ready? If you love me, truly love me, you will desire with all your heart what I desire. And you can feel it in the sighs and plaintive cries of those who call out for help, that they just want to get there to that place of depth with me and abandonment from the world, just as you once longed to be there also. Had I come then while you were yet struggling to uncover and overcome your flesh, well, had I come then, you too would have been left behind. So can you not bear up under just a little more preparation to gather in those who are oh so close? And then I said, Lord, I don't really understand altogether. Must we truly be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, as your word says, to the letter? Claire, you have said it yourself so many times. How is it that it escapes you now? You do not have to be perfect, but the will and intention to be perfect with at least some fruit really does need to be in place. Consistent effort, consistent amendment. And remember, I'm doing the doing in the soul. It is merely her effort and cooperation I'm calling for. Far too many are still sliding around and compromising. Compromise must be done away with. I need pure, devoted intention and the fruit that produces. This is costly, but by paying the cost, I see that she's sincere, and I will reward that. Lord, can you give us some examples, please? There are those who are living together and have no intention of getting married. This is sin. There are those who are heavily indebted to the world and continue to live an indebted lifestyle to impress their peers. There are those who know they are using worldly means to prosper their church. They feel it in their conscience, but continue to do it anyway because they want a bigger and more prosperous congregation and lifestyle. There are those I have called to turn their backs on the world and come on board with my agendas. And still, they cleave to living a life of subservience, to a roof over their heads, food in their bellies, as well as driving nice cars and having the latest cell phones. Yet I needed them and called them to leave all that and walk the dusty paths of evangelism among the poor. There are those in bondage to their culture. They feel the call to walk away, but they seek the comfort and approval of their peers and family more than my approval. Some of them I have educated with a mission in mind, but due to the pressure of family, they refuse to go. And here I'd like to flesh that out a little bit. I'm reminded of a woman who got a degree in nursing, and her very controlling mother constantly made her feel guilty about leaving her alone, even though she had other relatives that could care for her and good medical benefits. So she never lived out her dream to return to her developing nation and nurse the sick who could not afford doctors. I mean, this was a real lifelong dream of hers, and her mother just kept making her feel guilty, and she finally bent under that pressure and abandoned the plan that God had called her to. The Lord continued, "Anyone who loves the world and all it has to offer more than they love me is not worthy of me. They are in bondage, and I cannot take them until they renounce themselves and the world once and for all." You know this, Claire. You've been in this place. Boy, do I ever. And there are others who are in the right place, who are holding down jobs and raising families and have not chosen to compromise and have repeatedly been passed over at their jobs because they weren't flexible enough in their morals to satisfy questionable business practices that their bosses imposed on them. There are housewives who are faithful to their husbands and abhor things like soap operas and are raising their children to be holy. I will take them. Yet there are others who will feed on soap operas, live to spend money in the malls, and impress their peers, and allow their children to do as they please, because they don't want strife in their families. Them I cannot take in the rapture. These are all signs that they love the world more than they love me, so I cannot take them. Do you get the picture? Yes, Lord, I do. In addition to that, there are many whose salvation is hanging in the balance, and were the world to crumble overnight, which it will when the bride is removed, they will go the path of least resistance, or will die in the events unrepentant. I'm juggling all these factors in the decisions we're making, and we are intervening in world affairs to hold back the worst until it is time. So I desperately need your cooperation, fasts, prayers, amendment of life, bringing truth to those around you, and praying for their conversion. And when he says amendment of life there, I think A good example would be being just extremely honest, like on tax returns and in all your business dealings. Not looking to get more than your share of anything, but being very, very honest in all your dealings, so that you won't blush in front of him. And that's changing attitudes that are common in our culture, that people pass by as, oh, that's okay, it's just the government. No, that's not okay, because the Lord says liars can't enter heaven. We have to be really careful with that, because there's a huge temptation with that one. If you cannot, the Lord continued, if you cannot fast because of age or illness, offer me the pain you suffer every day, the inconvenience, the humiliation, the sorrow. And as you carry your cross, remember that my grace is sufficient for you, and that my power is made perfect in your weakness. I'm using it in a powerful way. You're not idle in the body of Christ when you're sick. There's actually grace flowing out of your life to others. Be encouraged by that. When I said pick up your cross and follow me, I meant carry the sufferings in your life with courage, stamina, and without complaining. I use every last ounce of suffering in a believer's life. These are tremendous fast offerings. And obedience to my known will. This is also powerful. Obedience brings down oceans of blessings and graces. Disobedience frustrates my plan in your life and the lives of others. And I just want to add here about the healing thing. If you've had prayer to be healed of an ailment, and you rebuke lying symptoms, and it continues to come back and it just stubbornly will not lift, the Lord may be allowing that sickness or whatever it is. Obviously, he's not healing it. And you know that it's not your lack of faith, because you've had healings in your life. And you know it's not a lack of power in the prayers, because some of you have had the best pray over you and still with no result. So why is the Lord allowing that? I mean, this is a really good question. And I deal with people all the time who say, oh, I feel so guilty, I feel so bad because I don't have the faith to be healed, or I must still be sinning in my life or God would have healed me. And none of those things are true. There's a reason for it. And here the Lord is really touching on it and saying he's using it. He's using it as a fast offering. I know some of you won't agree with me on that, but I'd like you to offer me another explanation as to why some people just aren't healed, when they've had the best people praying for them and you know they're leading exemplary Christian lives. Then he continued, oh, my bride, cooperate with me in these times. I need you all to carry the cross that has been fitted to you in this life. Soon it will be over and you will have a worry-free eternity of joy. But for now, be valiant. We must work while the light of day is still with us. Many of you have made remarkable progress in your week of abstinence from idle internet surfing and TV. Many of you have experienced me in a way you never thought possible. Some have been frustrated by not so perfect results, but nonetheless have felt closer to me. Oh, this is so admirable. I'm so very pleased with all of you that made this week a time of preparing yourself for me. Do you understand? I'm uncovering layers of faults in your lives each time you feel the urgency of the rapture. Be it the blood moon or a feast day or a prophetic word, it makes no difference. I'm stirring you to be ready. I'm challenging you to climb higher. These are seasons of preparation for you, as well as for those who are far from me. Many of you have discovered things in your nature you did not know existed. I have pointed out things to you through arranged circumstances that brought to light an attitude you thought you'd mastered. I told you I was going to do this, and I was faithful to my word. However, some of you have not recognized the fault I uncovered as a part of my promise to you. Now would be a good time to review the last 2 weeks and see what transpired that caused you conviction, repentance, and to change your ways. When I give you a word, you tend to forget that I told you it was going to happen because of the busyness of life that takes your attention off of me. I don't condemn you for that. I only ask you to be a little more vigilant. And for those of you, my sweet brides, who have discovered a new freedom in limiting your contact with the world, I will continue to shower graces upon you as you continue to make room for me. I embrace and kiss each of you on the forehead, sealing you with the fragrance of my love and the promise that soon we will be together eternally in your heavenly homeland. Persevere. Be at peace. You've done well each time you chose me over the things of the world. Even the littlest things mean a great deal to me.